I did not. I was alone here for a couple hours, and this building is all right.
Well done.
Thank
well,
you.
I did have to send Seth a little early just to make sure.
That is probably was a really good idea by you. Beth, we also want to encourage you. Beth, break a leg. Enjoy the rest of the run. Thanks. We'll be talking about Miracle on 34th Street a little bit later in the week, but we wish you the best with the show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You too. Have a great day.
You too, James.
And we'll be back with more The Morning Show tomorrow right here on, well, Katrina, I like the way you say it. You go ahead.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A pre-holiday snowstorm that dumped more than 3 feet on California's Sierra Nevada in 24 hours is headed east, and it has this driver worried.
They're just driving like regular, and they need to slow down. They just need to pay attention.
Meteorologist Craig Allen with our affiliate WCBS is tracking the system.
This one is going to cause all kinds of weather hazards in the form of wintry weather, snow, heavy snow at times, blizzard conditions at times, and the southern portion of that storm system is going to produce severe weather, strong thunderstorms, and possibly even tornadoes.
The man accused of building the bomb that brought down Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland 34 years ago is scheduled to make an appearance in U.S. District Court today. 270 people were killed in that crash. Correspondent Catherine Herridge is in Washington.
Massoud is the third Libyan charged in connection with the terrorist attack, but he would be the first to stand trial in an American court. The blast at 31,000 feet was so powerful, the crime scene spanned more than 840 square miles.
New hate crime statistics will be out later today. The FBI says of those reported, the most, almost 65%, are attributed to bias against race and or ethnicity, 15% targeted because of sexual orientation. Inflationary prices are having an impact on holiday shopping. Correspondent Scott McFarlane reports.
Kathy Brown operates a 12-month a year Christmas store in St. Michael's, Maryland, where there are always ornaments and decorations for sale, but where it's never been more complicated to actually set a price.
I might not make it as much as it needs to be for my regular pricing. I'll absorb that cost for now.
And when it comes to holiday dinner, there's sticker shock there as well, with key staples up between 15 and 25%.
Drivers are getting a break. AAA says the price of a gallon of regular is down to an average of $3.26 a gallon. That's more than 50 cents less than a month ago, and it's just in time for holiday travel. AAA's Ellen Edmonds.
Nearly 102 million Americans will drive to their holiday destinations this year. That is a 2% increase over 2021 and equals about 2 million more people expected to be on the road.
A movie about two lifelong friends who severed that friendship lead this year's Golden Globe nominations.
It does look like we're home.
The Banshees of Inisharan with Colin Farrell gets 8 nods.
Mrs. Wang, are you with us?
I am paying attention.
Everything Everywhere All at Once, second with 6. Tom Cruise and Will Smith shut out. The award show returns to TV in January after a year of racial controversy. S&P is up 12. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can.
Paid for by government.com.
Did you hear? A recent stash of $10 gold Liberty coins from the 1800s has been found. These gorgeous gold coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck in the late 1800s, and less than 50 of these gold coins are available. Coin experts are calling this gold find an incredible opportunity.
Call 1-800-935-7267,
and you are guaranteed a $10 gold Liberty coin minted by the U.S. Mint in the 1800s. But with extremely limited availability, you must call now. Now, these gold Liberty coins from the 1800s are still in uncirculated condition. That is history you can hold in your hand.
To learn more, call 1-800-935-7267.
Call now and you'll receive a free American Coin Collector's Bonus Package, a $40 value, free with every order.
Call 1-800-935-7267 now to secure your $10 gold Liberty coins dated from the 1800s before they sell out. That's 1-800-935-7267.
All over America, people are taking the national radon test. Have you? Answer true or false. Radon is a radioactive gas. True.
I didn't know that, no.
True or false. The Office of the Surgeon General recommends that all homes be tested for radon. True, your home should be tested. True or false, radon is the second leading cause of lung cancer. true.
I'm going to dial the number and call.
1-800-SOS-RADON.
Keep your family safe from radon. Call now.
1-800-SOS-RADON.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until midnight Thursday morning. 35 this afternoon under overcast skies, southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 28 tonight, 37 tomorrow, cloudy. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Welcome, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. For this December 12th, 2022, it is 10:05 on the clock. You got your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic, and I am joined by Seth Habagger.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a great start to your day out there. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us, everybody. I want to send a big shout-out to our great friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out, sponsoring the show. Big thank you to Phil and the gang over there. We encourage you to head on over to Quality Plus Printing for all your printing needs. Mm-hmm. Buy local, support local. Be listening on Wednesdays. During the morning show, we are joined by our friends from Quality Plus Printing with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Indeed.
It's always fun. Looking forward to that. It'll be coming up again this Wednesday, of course. Mm-hmm. And this is the show for you. You call up the show. Call up with your sports thoughts and feelings. 424-2600. Call up and join us. We're looking forward to talking with all of you as we go along here. We'll get into some local sports coverage as well. But I want to kick things off, Seth, with baseball.
Ha ha ha.
And we'll get into that. Because I want to talk MLB signings, a little free agency. Mm-hmm. You mentioned in our pregame here the winter meetings. Maybe touch on that a little bit. But this is a sports show, and I know the pushback nowadays, and the pushback that has existed for a while of just shut up and dribble, or I watch sports to get away from life. I just want to unwind and just watch sports.
Right.
And I'm in that same category.
Right.
I watch sports to unwind. I watch sports to get my brain. I'm an overthinker. I it's hard for me to detach. It's hard for me to be in the moment. Sports tend to do that to me.
Right.
If I'm watching one of my favorite teams, I'm immediately pulled in.
Yep.
And all I care about is the White Sox, you know, winning, pulling this off in the bottom of the ninth, or you know, the Blackhawks coming back from two goals down or something like that. Notice all my references are my teams coming from behind. It's what you get for being a Chicago fan.
It's true. It's very true.
But that's I get it. I want that out there right away. I'm a believer in that myself, everybody. I am also a realist.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was ever possible, but especially in 2022, mm-hmm. where there is no privacy anymore. There is no if you want to know something about one of your favorite athletes or your favorite people in the spotlight, you can find it.
Exactly. Very easily.
It's all out there.
It's this newfangled thing called the interwebs or whatever that is.
With that, and because we can't put the genie back in the bottle,
no.
Going forward, I think it's pretty understandable. Hey, this stuff is going to bleed into sports sometimes and vice versa.
Sure.
These are human beings. They have thoughts, feelings, mm-hmm. hearts. Here in this country, in America, we got this little thing called freedom of speech.
Hey.
And just because you're a millionaire doesn't mean that you can't. Well, here's the funny thing. Okay, shut up and dribble if you're a millionaire and, oh, you're just an athlete. Well, what is a politician? what the heck is a politician?
Yeah.
A politician is just an American citizen,
right.
who chose this as a profession.
Right.
But chances are they have other jobs, especially in the lower ranks and everything. So, because you work in real estate, you can't have an opinion?
Like, yeah.
what are we doing here? Wait a minute. But they have a pulpit. They have they can reach the world and everything. Guess what? So can every blogger, every person that's got a Facebook account, an Instagram account,
a streamer, influencer. I mean, come on.
Again, it's 2022. So with all that being said, and we try to have a lot of fun on this show, and we always do, I believe.
Yes.
I do want to start our show where I believe we have to.
Okay.
We have a responsibility to. And that is with the passing of the American journalist Grant Wall over in Qatar.
Yes.
For those that don't know, during the coverage of the Argentina game, literally covering the game in a crowd of people, young Grant Wall, who was in his mid-40s, mm-hmm. passed away, suddenly collapsed during this game,
yep.
and passed away.
Mm-hmm.
There is, to put it out there, we're not getting any signs of foul play or anything like that.
No.
This is my opinion. Okay. This is me talking here. James J. Mailoff, nobody else, not Civic, not WFHR, not Seth, not anybody else. James J. Mailoff talking right here. I have a very hard time believing that. I have an extremely hard time believing that he passed. I'm not a conspiracy person.
No, not at all.
And nobody who's ever talked to me on air, off air, whatever, would ever say that about me, I would believe.
Right.
You got to show me facts for me to believe things. It's actually an issue for me. I have a problem with faith because of this and other things, and I'm working on.
Yeah.
But when it comes to stuff like this, my gut has very seldomly been wrong in life in general. It's part of the only reason I'm literally alive today is because of trusting my gut.
Sure.
And as soon as this story broke, because for those that don't know, also, not only was Grant over there covering soccer, but he is going around, and he is a straight man who is married to a wonderful wife, but he was very much promoting LGBTQ issues and wearing a soccer ball with a rainbow around it and things like that. Things that he was told and he was documenting to the American public, hey, they're making me take this shirt off. Hey, they're not letting me in this building because I'm wearing a shirt. All these things. All this stuff is going on, and you know that the government over there was having issues with this because they were censoring this, censoring that, censoring this, censoring that.
Not letting players wear those things. Yep.
Right, right. And then he passes. Now, could this have been a coincidence? Could his heart have given out? It happens to thousands of people every year. Young people die of heart attacks all the time.
Right.
It's not far-fetched to think that. There are two things at play here for me.
Okay.
If you are going to go down that rabbit hole of this may have not been an accidental death or just a death by natural causes.
Yes.
I think the immediate thing is to look at Qatar, to look at the Middle East, look at our issues with that.
Okay.
If you follow these things, you know that the majority of the way that the Middle East works or Middle Eastern countries work, if they are going to do something like this, they're going to make damn sure you know. They are going to put it on a video. They are going to be wearing masks. We've seen this. Unfortunately, we've already seen how this is handled usually in the Middle East.
Right.
It is out there for everybody. Yep. It's on a shoddy video camera that they record it, and boom, everybody's got it, and every news feed's got it.
Right.
They don't do things quietly like this.
Yeah, Khashoggi. I mean, let's just think about that. A couple years ago, we've seen this it's a different situation. But you're absolutely right. They didn't seem to really care about hiding it, did they?
Right.
They really didn't.
This is all speculative. I cannot stress this enough. I'm speculating, and it's borderline dangerous speculation, and I don't care. I don't care. It cost me my job. I don't care. It's too important, you guys. This is too not just this. I'm not just talking about Grant. I'm not just talking about this. His wife, his family, his friends, the community, our sports world, losing one of our greatest journalists, one of our greater Americans. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about this happening. And I don't hear anybody talking about this. I don't. I heard one story talking about, hey, this seems a little weird.
Okay.
Look, do your due diligence. Cross your T's, dot your I's. If it was natural causes, I will be the first person to own that and say, I apologize if I said anything wrong or if I offended anybody or anything like that.
Right.
But now Middle Eastern, that's the way they handle things. What I wanted to wrap up on is, who do we have? We have issues with a number of countries and a number of dictators. But what is one of the biggest ones we have right now? And the dictator and the evilness that is Vladimir Putin. And how does Vladimir Putin and his cronies, how do they handle things? Quietly. Quietly. With a dab in the arm, a shot in the arm, and then their assassin keeps moving. If Grant passed away and it was foul play, That has to be followed through. All of these things have to be followed up on.
Right, exactly.
I'm not saying World War III starts from something like this. But, I mean, for God's sake, how much do you just let pass by? Did we not learn anything from World War II? We took 7 years to get involved in that war. Six, 7 years, give or take, or whatever. We can't sit back and just let things happen around the world and act like, oh, it's not affecting us. Oh, it doesn't matter because it's not on our shores. Why are you going to wait until it is? Like, I'm not saying we get involved in every single thing in the world or whatever, but something like this happens to one of our own, we should damn sure be doing our diligence. And I'm not saying they aren't. I'm saying what we're seeing, what we're hearing, we as American people, his family, nobody's hearing any of that. Nobody knows if they're doing any of that.
Right.
And I have a question for the audience. If you care about this subject, that is, because I guess it would also matter if you care about soccer at all. I do. I like the World Cup. Yeah. I like watching soccer.
It's the biggest sporting event in the world.
Yeah.
Literally the biggest event in the world.
I mean, you think the Super Bowl's big. It is five times the size of the Super Bowl,
exactly.
And I may be underestimating it.
Yeah.
I can't get into the World Cup. I can't. I don't even, like, there's highlights and there's some upsets over the weekend and all since this happened to him. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can't. I wanted to start off our show covering the upsets and talking about the Final Four that is in for the World Cup.
Right.
I can't even get to that. I don't even want to talk about it, to be honest with you now, because the whole, it's hard enough to talk soccer because of FIFA. That is already tough enough. But I push through because, oh, it's about the players, these coaches, the fans. I'm going to focus on that. I'm not going to let FIFA take this from me. I'm burnt out, man.
Well,
I don't even know where to go with this subject because I'm so burnt out and so tired from it. And it just happened. Didn't even happen 48 hours or 72 hours ago.
Yeah, right. To me, it's just this whole situation of where the Qatar debacle of even holding it there in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, we have gotten nothing but horror stories. Of all the people dying, of everything. This is a vanity project for the absolute monarchy that is Qatar. It's a absolute monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
They dictate everything that happens in that little country.
Yeah,
and now we have to deal with more of this stuff. I mean, I totally get it from what you're saying about not being interested anymore. If FIFA's idea was to get more people jazzed about the World Cup, which is their whole job.
Yes.
They are doing a terrible job because all we're seeing is bad stuff.
Their job is to spread the game and to create more love of the game.
Yeah.
The NBA, part of the reason that they started having going back to having MLB and NBA players in the Olympics was so we could win, but also to spread the love of the game.
Exactly. Worldwide.
The Dream Team went over there. That's what their job was to do.
Uh-huh.
And now when you look at the NBA draft, when you look at any almost – I want to say, I think it's pretty fair to say, any NBA roster, all of them, you have a European or
an international
player on that team.
Yeah.
That's soccer. That's FIFA. That's what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah,
and instead, all they want to do is line their pockets, and as you well-worded, vanity projects like this.
It's total, yeah, totally.
And when we're talking about these countries or we're talking about FIFA or anything like that, I don't know if it needs to be said or not. I'm talking about their governments. Notice I said Putin. I didn't say Russia.
Yeah, like a lot Russians,
of people, A lot of people do this, especially a lot of quote-unquote journalists do this.
Yeah.
They point to the whole people. Man, we got to stop that.
Yeah.
It is not the whole people. Is there a group of people? Could it be the majority of people?
Sure.
Maybe, but we don't know.
Are
you living there? Are you from there? I thought this with the Brittany Griner thing. Of course, with everything nowadays, you got 50% of people saying this and 50% of people saying this.
Right.
But I didn't see anybody out of those 100% of people saying, well, you know, every time I've ever had to negotiate with a dictator, this is the way I handled it.
Right.
No, because you haven't. You've never dealt with a madman. You've never negotiated with a madman before,
right.
Let alone where the stakes are this high. All right, so miss me with that.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that. Unless you are a former foreign leader who has dealt with trade like this before.
Diplomacy, all the things that come along with it.
You're welcome to your opinions, but please miss me with that. I have no interest in talking to talking about that at any ad nauseum or anything. When it comes to this subject, I'm curious, do people care of our interest in soccer, or does this push them farther away from the sport?
That's a good question.
We'll find out, and we'll talk about some other stuff, too. But first, let's go ahead and get to some phone calls here.
Good
morning. You're on Playmakers.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well.
How's it going over there?
Well, we're doing well. It's getting like crunch time a little bit here with the holiday, but
yeah.
We're getting it done. I kind of want to get you to kind of calm down a little bit here, James. I guess what I've been thinking about over the weekend, was watching the college basketball and everything. Have you noticed over probably, I would say, have to say probably the last 10 years, and how it might be even be sooner, longer than that, but how you come into a college basketball season and you don't have that one player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got your Dickie V's, just PTPers.
Yeah.
Primetime players. you don't see that, those players anymore. And you know, you had, like I said, you always had that one, you know,
yes,
coming
yes.
into the basketball season, he's going to be the number one draft pick, you know, coming into the NBA. It doesn't hype that much anymore. Are we losing? I mean, college basketball is always going to be a very popular sport, but are we losing some of that hype like we normally do?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, this is something the NBA, that basketball fans, or basketball, everybody involved in basketball, from college to pros to the G League to everything, they've been working and trying to figure out what's the right formula for at least 3 decades. Do we let kids, whatever age they are, as long as they're 18, go right into the draft? Or do we make it mandatory that they stay in college for a couple of years to work on their skills and to build the college game? Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, college sports in general, they tend to be, I'm a fan of this team, not so, just because of the player.
Right.
Where in the pros, I think all three of us, along with our audience out there, have rooted for a team before that we never rooted for, or we only root for because of a said player.
Right.
For me, Arizona Cardinals with Larry Fitzgerald, something like that, just right. as an example.
Yeah.
College sports is like that, where it brings us in because, oh, I'm a fan of Georgetown, I'm a fan of this school or whatever. So I don't know how much they're worried about this, and the ratings and their numbers are pretty good still. So March Madness is still one of the biggest sporting events that there is.
Yeah,
March
right.
Madness still is bigger than the college football bowl season, mm-hmm. which is interesting to me, I think. But it's definitely a problem. There's no perfect formula way to do this, because for every kid that's like Kevin Garnett or Moses Malone or somebody who at 18 they're ready to play with the big boys, there are Stormile Swift or I could go down and name you at least off the top of my head 20 guys who were 18 and went right into the NBA draft that we've never heard from.
Yeah. All right, and you know, and the one thing that you know that I've noticed, because you know. Maybe, I don't know, is it because my life is busier now and I don't have time to sit down and do it? But I remember the times that you know, be glued to all the preseason stuff, you know, that the four-letter network would do and
yep.
things like that, you know, and have it specials of, this guy is going to be the, you know, be the, and, but it just doesn't seem like that's there anymore. And they, you know,
yeah.
The NBA draft has kind of lost its hype, too.
Yeah,
a little bit.
You know, you go into the NBA draft has the fear, they have to watch out because they don't want to become the MLB draft. that nobody watches the Major League Baseball draft. I think Seth, and that's it.
I don't even watch it.
And that's something that they've been working for, you know, also decades to try to fix. Like, how do we get people to care about these players? How do we get people to watch? People watch college football. They know these kids. They watch these kids. Mm-hmm. So when the NFL draft comes around, hey, I'm familiar with so-and-so. Right. I know him. I know his story and everything. So I'm engaged. I care. Basketball has lived for a long time on this. It used to be the NBA draft was one of the biggest sporting events of the year. Now people watch because, what's the crazy suit this kid's going to wear? Or, you know, that kind of stuff. And they don't even know half of these guys. People like me that are insane about these sports do, but that's like it. And even I don't know everybody. I don't know half these foreign players and that kind of stuff, which has also led to some of the kind of disassociation with the NBA and with college basketball because of the foreign game growing up being so much more popular.
Oh, yes.
I mean, every year you've gotten the top 5 picks, usually a guy with, you know, a couple more letters in his name than we're used to or something like that.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, I was watching it. And then and I have to laugh a little bit, too, after watching a lot of Badger games this year. How they sat there and said that the Badgers were going to be that, what, ninth team in the Big Ten?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and now they're, I mean, granted, it's only 2 games into the Big Ten season, but, I mean, they have already proved that they've knocked out, you know, Maryland.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they were right there with Kansas. To me personally, I don't think they should have lost that game. That was a bad call at the end of the game, but... I think Wisconsin could have a chance to win in the Big Ten again. I mean,
I agree.
They're scoring points. They're hit. I mean Chucky Hepburn is awesome.
He is. I I think that, I don't know. I think one of the, and I understand it's a 24-hour news cycle now, and all these stations are on 24/7, so you got to fill time. I think the most useless conversations in sports all have to do with preseason rankings or preseason predictions of any sport, of anything, college, pros, football, basketball, whatever. They're never correct. They never get anywhere near anything. And they actually, I think, do a disservice to the fan, to these teams. And I don't know, I couldn't even go in depth necessarily what that disservice is, but it definitely feels like it is.
It does.
It feels like there is like that.
Well, I mean, look at North Carolina. They're not even in the rankings anymore.
Wow.
And they were number one.
Right.
Pointless.
And you would think, too, like, you notice we never get the names of the people that come up with these numbers. Like, there's never any specifics on that. Like, I'm pretty sure I have a good feeling I know why we never find out, like, who is behind these rankings necessarily. Like, specifically, I mean, names of people.
Or if it's, like, a more famous writer or something. You start off the article with, like, 300 caveats.
Yes.
It's like, well, I know it's really early, and, you know, we all know crazy things can happen. And so they go, you know, going into it saying, yeah, this is going to be wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm not sure why.
There's really two jobs out there that you can have that you can always be wrong. For the sports polls and the weatherman. So,
yep.
I mean,
there you go. Yep. Kid, we joke, hey, you know, parents, raise your kids to be major league pitchers. You got like a 40-year career for millions.
Especially if you're a lefty. Yeah.
Or in those two fields. Yeah. One of those two
there
fields.
You go.
That's raising kids to do those. Always appreciate the time, sir. Thanks a lot for joining us.
You guys have a great day.
You too. Thank you. And you did calm me down. Thank you. You did calm me down a little bit.
Can I make a comment and defend my beloved baseball?
No.
Okay. From what you said about the draft?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. No one really cares about the baseball draft. But to be fair, that's because you rarely see these guys come right out of college into the majors. They got to go through the minors. Even great players like your Bryce Harpers, all the big guys right now, they all had to make the trek through the minors. Sometimes it was really quick. But... yeah. So,
So
you don't get the instant cachet like in the NBA or the NFL kind of thing. So
I think that's part of the issue with the NBA too, is because their NBA is trying to do more of that with the G League and everything.
Right. Yeah.
Because so many of these kids are only staying a year in college, their skill sets are not fine tuned enough to be on. So I think those are both good points to mention with that drafting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey.
Good morning.
How are you?
It was pretty nice out in California yesterday.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was real nice.
I mean, that quarterback, Purdy.
Oh, Purdy was, yes, nicely played. I'm so sorry. That was hilarious, Gary, and I apologize. I thought you were, I didn't want to cut you off. I thought you were going somewhere with that. You went somewhere with that, all right. That is... again, we're talking about like predicting things or scouting this stuff. This kid was drafted last, the literally last pick in the NFL draft, behind I think 10 other quarterbacks or something like that. Right now, almost every team that needs a backup or needs a quarterback is looking at that kid and like, oh, I want that kid. I like that kid. That kid looks good. All he did was break a bunch of records in college and everything already.
Yeah, so right.
It's pretty funny. I could not be happier for him. I don't really care much about the 49ers or anything, but I'm happy for him.
I love stories like that. Baker Mayfield. I mean, another great story. Good stuff.
Gary, we always appreciate the time. You have a great day.
Yeah, you try to.
All right, thanks, Gary.
Appreciate you. What we'll do right here is take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some local scores and some local stuff going on with our sports world. The WIAA has something that they're doing I want to touch on.
Ooh,
and we'll get into some baseball conversation. We'll see what else happens. We'll talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. It's your show. Call up 424-2600 with your sports thoughts and feelings, and we'll talk them over together on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR.
All right, Quality Plus Printing team, let's make this a wicked awesome play. Tracy, you go right. Alan, you go left. McKenna, you go deep. Maria, Kathy, Carrie, Sue, Anna, Dan, give me time to throw. Printing and design, on one. Get your words out. Get your words out. With Quality Plus Printing, set, hut. Printing, graphics, and design. The team at Quality Plus Printing scores a touchdown every time.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs.
But it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening and continues until midnight Thursday morning. 35 this afternoon under overcast skies, southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 28 tonight, 37 tomorrow, cloudy. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers here at WFHR. Brought to you by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Buy local, support local. Visit our friends over at Quality Plus Printing in Wisconsin Rapids for all your printing needs. Buy local, support local.
Yes, indeed.
I want to talk about some local coverage here, go over some scores from Friday and the weekend, and touch on something that the WIA is up to. Looking at boys varsity basketball from Friday, Port Edwards Blackhawks beat the Elmond Brancroft Eagles 54-46.
Nice.
Pittsville beat Tri-County Penguins 78-30.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a tough one.
Marshfield beat up my alum, the Red Raiders. Marshfield 71, Raiders 47. Nakusa with a nice game. Nakusa won handedly on Friday, 81-41 over Greenwood.
Wowza.
Ooh. And Assumption was victorious, 70-64 over Chiawagon. Chiawagon.
Boy. It's so far so good for a lot of the local teams, except for Lincoln. But they had a rough weekend, but other than that.
And it wasn't just on the boys' side. Yep. On Friday, on the girls' side, Marshfield Marshfield ladies beat up the Lincoln Red Raider ladies 63-30. And this does not look like a real score to me. I don't think I've been watching basketball my whole life.
Right.
I've never seen a score like this before, Seth. Assumption Royals girls playing Chiawagon. Chiawagon, sorry. I have not seen that before. I'm not sure how to say that. 72-8.
What? What? Oh, no. Oh, I feel so bad. Oh.
That's rough. That is a rough one right
that's
there.
That's a rough score,
that
yeah.
That is tough right there.
Oh, jeez.
It looks like today in boys varsity basketball, you've got the Port Edwards Blackhawks taking on New Lisbon. That'll be at 7. And also at 7, the Lincoln Red Raiders are going to be taking on New London Bulldogs.
All right.
And I want to send a big shout out, of course, to the Wisconsin Rapid City Times for covering so much of that stuff and getting those scores in there. Appreciate them. Also from the Wisconsin Rapid City Times, wanted to touch on this article that you can find right at their paper, and you can do that by going to wrcitytimes.com. Mm-hmm. That's wrcitytimes.com. The WIAA Task Force conducts a football-only realignment review.
Ooh, interesting.
The Conference Realignment Task Force voted December 6th on 35 football only requests in the first meeting of the membership's realignment review process for the 24-25 season. 27 plans either requested placement in a conference or requested relief from their current conference affiliation in 11-player football. Although none of the plans advanced were as specified in the respective proposals, information provided in 14 of the plans were modified and advanced for further review by the task force. The 14 plans that were the catalyst of the modified plans were submitted by Nakusa and Pittsville, along with Ashland, Berlin, Green Bay West, Hortonville, Oshkosh West, Polymer Eagle, Rice Lake, Sheboygan Falls, Southwestern, Waupun, Webster, and West LA Central. In addition, 8 of the plans submitted for 8-player football conference realignment were referenced to modify conferences' alignments throughout the entire state.
Wow. Interesting. There'll be a lot of changes coming up here.
The extensive football conference realignment plans are outlined with links to the detailed proposals. You can find out more by going to the WIAA's website. Under the proposal, the Valley Football Association would be dissolved in Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Marshfield, DC Everest, and Wausau West would join a newly created Big River / VFA East alignment, along with Eau Claire Memorial and Eau Claire North.
Whoa.
That plan also calls for a mandatory crossover for a seventh conference game with a team from the new Big Rivers VFW West, which would include Chippewa Falls, Hudson, Menominee, New Richmond, Rice Lake, River Falls, and Superior.
Wow.
Nakusa would be moving to the Trailways Conference, joining the Cambria Friesba, Johnson Creek, Lourdes Academy, Oshkosh, Milwaukee, and Randolph and Westfield. This is a lot to digest. This is a lot to dissect, and I would like to get into this with Randy as well, because I feel like this is really Randy's wheelhouse than it is either of ours. But it's certainly open for conversation. If anybody wants to talk about it, please join our conversation, 424-2600. Call right up. Otherwise, I think we'll get more in depth with this the next time Randy's with us. I could tell you, though, just even as a layman, even knowing what I know, this is a lot more travel time.
That was my initial reaction. Hearing what teams are in these, I mean, Superior? I mean, oh my gosh, that's like 6 hours away from here, right? Yeah. In Wisconsin Rapids. And I know they're not going to be in the specific conference, but if there's going to be crossover, someone's going up to Superior at some point. That seems an awful long way to go.
I didn't, you know, search engine this. I don't know for a fact this or anything, but I feel pretty safe saying there's no school. Okay, how about this? There's no school in Wisconsin, specifically Central Wisconsin, that's doing so good that they got money to burn.
You're absolutely right.
I feel pretty confident saying that.
Yes, I think you're okay.
We're seeing cuts being made to everything nowadays when it comes to our education systems, especially after school programs.
Yeah, which are so important. So important.
Yeah, incredibly important.
Yep.
I don't know where they're going to get the budget for these things, what they're thinking here with this. And I don't know if it's just me or not, but it feels like, and I don't mean to pick on them. If somebody out there is a representative of the WIAA or works with the WIAA, please call up, join our conversation, join our show. I would love that.
I'd love to hear the logic of all of these, you know, proposals.
That organization feels like it's in a bubble. Because it feels like every time something like this comes up, all I hear is pushback on it. I mean, usually with things, you know, especially, you know, with anything with an organization, the NCAA, FIFA, any of these things, there's a little bit of both. There's people who support it and people who are against it.
Right.
I feel like everything I hear from the WIAA, it's negative. It's not the community's not agreeing with it. We just ran into it with the last football season last year where they, you know, what was it?
Amherst, I think. It was Amherst,
knocked out of the playoff run and everything because they had an ineligible player.
Right.
When even the teams on the teams that they were playing against were saying, no, let them in.
That seems unfair,
It really didn't affect its football. I mean, there's like 30 kids on the rosters and all that. One did not make a difference here or anything. But the WIA, nope, we got to do it this way. We have to. Rules are there for a reason, certainly. Mm-hmm. But these are kids. And I would think that part of the reason of having a Wisconsin organization in charge of Wisconsin sports is to, you know, okay, we're not the NBA, we're not the NFL, we're not even the NCAA.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to treat these kids like they're kids. We're going to, you know, rules are important, and these are young people. We're growing
right.
The point of sports is not for you to have bragging rights. It's not for you to be able to hold up a trophy. It's to create young, you know, great young people, help them become great young adults.
Right.
And to grow that and to show what sportsmanship can do, what the beauty of sports can be.
The all the positives that we associate with team sports, you know, building camaraderie with your peers, you know, learning teamwork, all of these good things that can come from it, which, by the way, was the original reason they started hosting these things in high school to begin with. But as is the way of these things, people want, you know, people are competitive. They say, hey, our school is better than your school kind of thing.
Yeah.
And if it had stayed at just, you know, fun rivalries and stuff like that, I think it would have been good. But of course, all this other stuff has got to come in with it.
Yeah.
And I really hope the logic behind, you know, some of these things isn't for like competitive balance, because that's the worst thing for a high school kind of thing, especially if you have to travel all over. It's just, so much.
I think we all understand, especially if you didn't ever understand it, you do now. I said all that about sports. Mm-hmm. That's us as fans. Anybody in that world, especially if you are an owner or anything like that, or you who literally have stock, it's about money. And we understand about the pro game, and I think we kind of accept it with the pro game.
Makes sense, yeah.
We're starting to have to or learn to accept it with the college game. My fear is this bleeds into high school sports. And it really gets thrown up on its head. It really doesn't belong there. But how else are we going to be able to afford for these schools to have teams? How else are we going to be able to afford for these schools to be able to get to these games and stuff?
That's the dilemma.
They have a lot to figure out there.
They do.
And they need to be, I hope that they are, working with people that understand what it's like to not to be taking kids to school, to be taking kids to practices, to be coaching these teams, to be a referee for some of these teams.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't want to say like they're not, but it feels like a lot of the time like they are not talking to those people. It's just a bunch of people in a boardroom who haven't had kids in school for decades making these decisions.
And I don't know how transparent these, you know, these discussions are and everything. I hope they are, that people can, you know, hear and see exactly what's going on, because that's just as important as anything else, the process that they go through to figure out these things, to come up with these proposals. I think it's really important we know where they're coming from.
Playmakers is on your airwaves. You feel free to call up and join the conversation, 424-2600. Let's shift gears, talk a little baseball.
All right. I guess we can talk a little baseball.
Yeah. The only reason Seth came into the show today was because I promised him we'd talk baseball. 40 minutes in and we're finally getting it.
Awesome.
I do want to start with free agency and some of the signing spree that has been going on.
Craziness.
And also get into the Hall of Fame, wrap up with that.
I'll
have to, you know, the audience, you guys out there, and Seth, I'm going to have to lean on free agency, because once the Houston Astros signed Jose Abreu, I stopped paying attention. I'm still angry about that.
You know, and you are justified, because the White Sox have done very little in this whole, so far in this offseason. They've done very little.
To be fair, wait for it, because Jerry Reinsdorf any day now is going to sign Albert Pujols. And you know,
Yadier Molina will come back.
Yeah, a couple. Whoever's just retired or on the brink of retirement, Jerry Reinsdorf will sign to what we like to call the Bo Jackson or Ken Griffey contract, where nobody's giving them a contract but Jerry Reinsdorf.
Well, if they wanted old players, there's still some really good old players out there. They could have gotten Justin Verlander, you know.
Right?
Yeah, he's never going to Chicago.
No.
Not when his buddy's up in New York.
What's Blackjack doing? What's Jack McDowell doing? You know, we'll bring him back, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe Ozzie Guillen can be convinced to take the field again. I don't know.
So there were actually some, really important signings. Clayton Kershaw re-signed with a one-year deal with the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. No surprise there.
Mets have been some pretty big business. Just signed an 8-year deal for Brandon Nemo.
Yeah.
Edwin Diaz signed an extension.
Yep.
As Seth just mentioned, Justin Verlander going to be pairing up with Max Scherzer
again.
Now. Yeah.
They got the team back together from the Detroit Tigers from those years ago, all those years ago.
I don't care if they're both in their 80s. I would still take that 1-2 punch.
Oh, are you kidding me? There has been some debate about whether it made more sense for the Mets to go out and get Verlander instead of retaining Jacob deGrom, who signed with the Texas Rangers. And boy, there's good arguments on both sides for that one.
Yeah.
And it deals with deGrom's injury career. I mean, he's had a lot of injuries over his career. But you cannot deny, when he is pitching, he's the best pitcher in baseball. There's no question about it.
Nope.
He is the best pitcher in baseball. I do not have anything against the Rangers. Get a big signing like they did last year. Get the people coming. They want to see Jacob deGrom pitch. But at the same time, I can understand where the Mets are, because they had to deal with all these injuries over the years. And they got a guy who just won the Cy Young Award with Justin Verlander, who still looks like he's got tons in the tank. I think it's going to turn out, it could turn out good for both teams, which would be really cool. Yeah, great for baseball, cool. too. Yeah.
It is a weird debate where you'd rather have a 39-year-old than a guy who is in his early 30s.
Especially
in baseball, and you're giving these big contracts to.
Yeah.
It did remind me, though, because my first thought when I saw DeGrom sign with the Rangers like that threw me off, like I think everybody out there. When Alec Rodriguez signed over there.
Yeah.
But actually, I thought about it for a second, a couple minutes later. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Didn't Corey Seager sign with the Rangers last year?
Yeah. Marcus Semien. Big contracts.
So, the Rangers quietly kind of trying, and quietly because they're not winning still, quietly kind of trying to build that team back
up. They just
up.
Hired Bruce Bochy. as their manager.
Yeah, yes, that's right. Yeah.
Why? Out of retirement, Bruce Bochy, one of the best managers we've seen in many, many years.
I wanted him in a White Sox uniform. Oh,
wouldn't
so
that have been great?
Bad.
One of the best. He's one of the best.
Other signings, of course, Aaron Judge signing a record contract with the New York Yankees.
I got a quick comment about that one because, first of all, I never seriously thought anyone else would get Aaron Judge. And I have to give all kudos to Judge and his agency because the Yankees folded like a cheap tent on this one.
Yeah, yeah.
They knew they could not re-sign him. They had to bring back Aaron Judge. He was, first of all, most of their offense last year. Without him, they're a very much offensively weakened team.
23% or 26% of their offense.
Some ridiculous number. It was a quarter. He was a quarter of their offense last year. One guy.
Yeah.
And you know, I give him credit for betting on himself because with that he earned another $140 million plus another year or I think another year on the contract that he was initially offered or two, something like that, because of 9 years, I think. And
Nine-year deal.
And so I'm not a, you know, everyone knows I don't like the Yankees, but this totally makes sense. And I got to give Judge credit for kind of sticking it to him, saying, hey, guys, what do you got? How do you like me now? Kind of thing. Yeah.
He bet on himself and that worked out.
That was one of the best bet years you have ever seen in your life. It's one of the best, you know, single years period for any hitter. So, yeah.
We're hearing more and more that San Francisco never really considered themselves in the running of this, so they were kind of running up the price a little bit.
Well, it worked for Aaron Judge.
Anthony Rizzo re-signed with the Yankees as well on a two-year $40 million deal.
Not a surprise there.
The Phillies signing Trey Turner was interesting,
huge,
I thought.
Huge, huge deal. Man, I got to get – well, it's Dave Dombrowski. I mean –
yeah.
If you know anything about Dave Dombrowski, this is totally his MO. And I can't see the downside. This is a marvelous. Trey Turner is one of the best all-around players in baseball right now.
Yeah.
And they have added now, they've got your Bryce Harper and you got Trey Turner now at the top of the lineup. Phillies are going to be fun to watch this year.
St. Louis signed Wilson Contreras to a 5-year deal, one of the better catchers in baseball. Nice move by him. But I wanted to mention, of course, we had to mention San Diego Padres.
Yes.
Signing Xander Bogaerts to an 11-year, $280 million deal to go along with like 9 other of those kind of deals that they got over there.
The San Diego now has, 40 shortstops?
Yeah, basically.
It's just about, I mean, what they're talking about moving Tatis into to left field or right field?
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm not denying that Xander Bogaerts is a great player. He is. But why?
Yeah.
Didn't you have other things you guys needed to address? Don't you have more? You need more outfielders. I don't know.
Your infield is set. You've got your infield set. Why are you continuing to spend $200-300 million contracts on an infield that's already set?
Yeah. You could always, I mean, everyone can use more pitching. Why didn't you go out and get another arm? I mean, you got Joe Musgrove, who just recently threw the fastest pitch in Antarctica. So, I mean,
so you got that too. Who's the ace for San Diego?
I got to give it to Musgrove. I got to give it to Joe.
I ask you, the ace of most teams, you got it right away, locked and ready to go. You got to think about it with San Diego. Sure, just that alone
you
tells
you. Darvish,
me.
I mean, yeah, they got to, I mean.
You could use pitching.
But to be fair, they got to keep up with the Dodgers.
Right.
And that's a tough, that's a tall order, which unfortunately the Giants wanted to do, but they have not been doing too well there either. But anyway, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know that there's necessarily any other huge signings, but I did want to mention the Japanese player that was signed by Boston, because as Boston lost Xander Bogaerts, what they were hoping for the earlier that day is that Masasaka Yoshida?
I think that's his name, yeah.
That he would be the, you know, that's all anybody was going to be talking about in baseball.
Yeah.
But then Bogaerts signs with San Diego, and nobody even knows that, you know, that guy
rained,
signed.
Rained on their parade, right? Yeah.
So I'm very interested by that. Not only that signing, but how that's going to grow, signing foreign players going forward.
Mm-hmm.
This has been talked about for a while. There's supposed to be these rules in place so that your big teams can't just scoop up these players.
Right, the luxury tax, right?
Yeah, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all these other ways around all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like
okay, you can only offer them a certain deal right off the gate. But
right.
if I'm Boston, if I'm New York, and I have a great scouting team mm-hmm. that knows about this guy over in Japan, I can actually send money to him over in Japan, or I can work out ways around it where, hey, wink, wink, when you get here, we're going to give you this marketing deal. We're going to give you this, you know, you're going to be in the face of Gatorade or something yeah, like
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
They work around these things, and mm-hmm. because they're big markets, they can do that, mm-hmm. whereas Kansas City or Oakland or something can't do yeah, those things.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, and I'm not disparaging the luxury tax, because if you get to a certain level, it can get very painful, because you lose those international draft picks as well as having to pay into the, you know, the joint fund or whatever it is. And that ain't, hey, they do not. There's a reason why the owners don't want to go past those thresholds. But at the same time, I know what you're saying makes, you know, it is very on point about the teams with the bigger ones. Although I have to say, I'm not sure what Boston is doing right now.
No, I don't know.
I have no idea why they didn't sign Xander Bogaerts again. He's one of their best players and one of their most popular players. Of course, they already got rid of Mookie Betts. So, Devers, you're going to be next. Just want to put it out there.
And I don't another. I don't. Yeah, right. That's a good point to make.
Their last really good player. I mean, come on.
I don't care what his agent was saying. If Mookie Betts' agent came to me and said, "I want a 1% stock in the Boston Red Sox or something like that," I'm like, "All right,
yeah, cool. Right.
What, is that it? That's all you want?
Yeah.
It's Mookie Betts. You keep a Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
He's a generational player.
He is.
The Red Sox organization for a while now has been acting like they are a mom and pop team, and they've been begging for not only their audience,
yeah.
but for just sports fans in general. Feel bad for us. Feel for us. We're in this. You know, it's hard for us. We got the dark empire over there in New York that makes it harder for us yeah. or whatever. Get out of here. You're Boston. You're one of the biggest sports markets in the world.
Yeah.
You're printing money. All of your teams.
Yeah.
All of your teams are printing money over there. You're also one of the smaller areas to have to cover big teams.
Yeah.
Your finances are set. Never let any MLB team, let alone a big conglomerate like that.
Like Boston.
Don't let them play you. Do not let them play you. Do not let them make you think that, oh, the you know world's smallest violet. Please feel for us. We're a small market. As you just spent, $200-some million on a player who's never even played in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that.
You're so right. Especially, and they're in a division with the Baltimore Orioles, who showed last year, look at what you can do
yeah.
with our homegrown talent. They've been collecting talent for years. Now it's starting to pay off. And they finished better than the Red Sox did. I mean, come on. Come on. I mean, and yeah, not that Baltimore doesn't have money, too. They do.
Yeah.
They just haven't made any big signings yet. But I'm telling you, it's like night and day with those two teams right now. We're not going to feel sorry for Boston. I'm sorry.
No.
You guys have enough resources. Ah, get out of here with that.
Winter meetings going on right now. And a couple of big things coming out of that, of course. The MLB, all MLB team will be announced today. Or, I'm sorry, tomorrow.
Very cool.
Later today that will be announced. Then later today, tomorrow, the inaugural draft lottery will take place.
Makes sense.
That should be interesting. Yep. But I wanted to touch on the Hall of Fame Contemporary Era ballot. Results were released. Albert Bell, or Joey Bell, as some of us remember him.
Back in the day.
How's that for a reference?
That's a good one.
Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Don Mattingly, Fred McGriff, Dale Murphy, Rafael Palmeiro, and Curt Schilling were all on that. And we have found out, of course, Fred McGriff is going to be in the most recent class of the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
Congratulations to him and his family. Our long national nightmare of being able to say, wait a minute. Is Fred McGriff in the Hall? Fred McGriff's not in the Hall of Fame. Like, that's over. That's finally over.
I think I can speak for many people of our generation, James. That was one of the stumpers.
Yeah.
Why is Fred? He was one of the premier sluggers of our era. The crime dog. Everyone knew it. He was short. Like, what was it? 7 home runs short of 500 because of the strike.
Yeah.
He would have gotten that if it weren't for the long strike in the middle of the 90s. He was a very good first baseman as well. He's a good defensive first baseman. And he did strike out a lot. But come on, man. He was one of those guys. He was on winning teams. You know, he was with the Braves when they had their long run and everything. Man, it's finally better late than never, I guess. But I'm really happy that he got in.
I'm curious how you, Seth, will feel about this. If you've had a good to decent career,
mm-hmm.
and you have a great nickname, should you be a first ballot Hall of Famer? She just, I mean, seriously, most guys don't get nicknames if they're not any good.
So no, that's true. I mean,
there's a little truth in that. Not much, like a half a percent of truth. But there's a little, just a little bit in there of that.
The crime dog, by the way, one of the best ever.
Yeah.
It's one of the most clever because of his last name, which is always good. I am very much in the camp of I like wide open Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I like getting lots of people in there. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't have any standards. Yes, they should have standards.
Yeah.
But we can put in guys that have like a very intense portion of their career where they're like the best in the game.
2-3 year run kind
of thing. Yeah, right. Well, yeah. I would say a little longer, like 5 or 6 years.
Okay, yeah.
But Sandy Koufax, great example of that. He had a 6-year run, one of the best of all time. And they had him go in the Hall of Fame because of that. And I'm thinking, yes, you do that because he was good. I'm also saying that because Johan Santana should be in the Hall of Fame, even because he had a very similar stretch that Sandy Koufax did. But I think guys, recently it happened, guys who've been in, you know, Jim Cott last year.
Yeah.
He played for 25 years.
Yeah.
He pitched for 25 years, and he was a good pitcher. I think longevity should have something to do with that, too.
Yeah.
You're in the lineup every day. You take that, you know, every fourth or fifth day in the rotation. You should be rewarded for that.
I agree. I think that, look, there should be a standard. These Hall of Fames should mean something.
Oh, of course.
It should mean something to get into any Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I also think every single Hall of Fame needs to stop taking itself so seriously.
Absolutely. This is for the fans.
Yeah.
This is for people who want to see it.
No Hall of Fame, I don't believe, well, no, I shouldn't say that. But most Hall of Fames don't necessarily have a, yeah, if you play 4 or 5 years, you can't get in. Like, they don't have that rule necessarily. That's on us. That's on voters. Like,
yeah, exactly.
The human element incorporates that. That's the argument. Well, he was good. Johan is on the the ballot. Well, he was good, but he didn't have a 10-year career or whatever or something like that. I'm like, how many people in their job are at their prime their whole 20, 30 years, 40 years doing a job?
Great example.
It just don't happen very often.
Unless you're Vince Scully, you know, and then. But sure, other than that.
Good example. Albert Pujols is going to walk into the Hall of Fame.
Stroll right in.
Just walk right in. Yep. He's already working on his speech. He had a good stretch there, a good 6-7 years where he was horrible.
Yeah, yeah. He was decent. I would say he was decent, but he wasn't any better than like a regular player.
Yeah.
He still hit some home runs and stuff. He couldn't run.
But when it comes to the voters in there, and they're going to be talking about Albert Pujols' career, they may mention that a little bit, but they'll excuse that. They'll knock that out of the way.
It'll be the first 10 years of his career when he was in St. Louis from 2001 to 2011, and that's all they're going
to
talk about.
So it feels like we should be able to do the opposite of this as well.
I agree.
And it also leads me to my final question of what's going to happen – or. Because they were talking for a while there when Bonds, Clemens, and those people were first retired. Well, by the time they're in their last years of eligibility, there'll be a whole new generation, and they won't care about steroids, and they're going to vote these guys in. Well, spoiler alert, everybody, we're here, and that's not happening. Nobody from the steroids era, including some people who weren't even found guilty of anything, have not been brought
Never
in.
Failed a test or anything. I thought that this was the way they did it this year. Other than being very happy about Fred McGriff, I thought it was really stupid.
Yeah.
They did it too soon. They just got off the ballot. You need to wait. You need to get, they will eventually get into the Hall of Fame. I have no doubt about that, but it takes time. You're going to, cause there's plenty of the same people that are still voting. They're like, I'm not going to vote for them forever because they cheated, blah, 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 whatever, you know, that self-righteous stuff. But anyway, they'll get in, but it's going to take a while.
Do you think that they belong in the Hall of Fame?
I do. I do. Bonds and Clemens, especially because at the early parts of their career, they were the best at what they did. If you cut out any kind of like 1999, if you go Barry Bonds up to 1999, which is the last time I think most people feel he wasn't, again, we still don't have any proof that he was, but right. I know. Anyway. But he still has a Hall of Fame career. He still wins the MVP award 3 times. Yeah. He still is one of the best all-around players of all time. Roger Clemens, the same thing. I think they belong in the Hall.
I'm not sure how you do this. A lot of people will bring up an asterisk.
No.
I don't know if you need that, though.
No, I don't think so.
Like, let's say 100 years from now, there is still baseball, and there's still a baseball Hall of Fame. Do you genuinely think that baseball fans won't know of the steroids era? 100, because that's the pushback is, we have to include this asterisk because people will forget. baseball fans will tell you what happened in the night. They still know about the Black Sox.
Yeah.
They still talk about the Black Sox scandal.
They'll talk about baseball in 1890.
How many people were here catching those games? Yeah. How many? It's baseball. This idea that it seems like the dumbing of people's opinions of other people. You know, way too often they go dumb or oh, they're not intelligent enough, or oh, this and this. Like, man, give people a chance before you just assume this stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, so, yeah, but they'll get it.
Real quickly, touching on our sports schedule, be sure to join us tomorrow right here on WFHR at 6:05 for the Greg Gard Show. On Wednesday at 6:40 here at WFHR, Wisconsin women's basketball as they take on Green Bay.
Cool.
Thursday, a big day for sports. All right, here at WFHR at 5, we'll have Wisconsin men's basketball taking on Lehigh. On Thursday at 6 o'clock on our sister station, WIRI, the Marquette Coaches Show with Coach Shaka Smart.
Mm-hmm.
And then on